Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm really glad that you're joining us. The series that we're doing here is called Surprised by God. Have you ever been surprised by God? That's the question. As I've been praying over this week's message, the Holy Spirit kept prompting me to keep this week's message simple and to the point. And if you've been with us over the past few weeks, we've been reading and reflecting on John chapter 4. We have looked at Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. And then the title of this series is called Surprised by God. And it's my prayer that as we read and we study God's Word, that you will be surprised by God even in the middle of this pandemic. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 4. Before we read God's Word, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you love us with an everlasting love. Help us to clearly see your unending love that will sustain us during these unprecedented times. Holy Spirit, open our ears so that we can hear all that you want to teach us today. Jesus, we thank you for coming into our broken world, for entering our broken lives, and offering us a spring of living water. Amen. Okay, join with me in the reading of John chapter 4, 1 to 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Wow. I wonder what Jesus would say to us. What would Jesus say to you? Jesus says to the woman at the well, "Give me a drink." I think I always wonder what I'm going to say when I meet Jesus. What would you say to Jesus? What would Jesus say to you? Jesus said to the woman, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank it from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Think of those verses. Those are some powerful, powerful verses. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at this surprise visit of Jesus to this unnamed woman of Samaria. We have looked at Jesus and how he too waited until the heat of the day to go to the well. Did Jesus know he would find this lost woman at the well? We have spent time reflecting on the gentleness, the patience, and the loving kindness of Jesus. Stop for a moment right now. If you're driving, don't, but you know, just stop for a moment in your thoughts. Let us thank Jesus for seeking us at our own well in the heat of the day. I don't know when you met Jesus. Maybe you haven't. Maybe today is the day. But I know Jesus will seek you and find you wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus, for being so gentle with us. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience, your long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, for offering us this living water. Last week, if you were listening to our program, we spent our time looking at the woman at the well and her response to the surprise she had that a Jewish man would ask a Samaritan woman for a drink. We saw how surprised she was that Jesus knew everything about her, yet still responded in love to her. Stop for a moment and think about this. Ponder this, that probing thought. Jesus knows everything about you and still responds with love to you. That's a great so what statement. If you're writing notes, that would be a great so what statement. Jesus knows everything about you and still responds with love to you. Today, I would like to spend our time looking at verse 13 and 14. So I'm going to read them again. Listen, Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When I read these verses, I'm reminded of a passage that God gives to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles, flip to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 and 15. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared, they have growled at him, they have laid waste his land, his towns are burned and deserted. Jeremiah chapter 2, 13 through 15. It is an old well or a cistern that Jesus finds the Samaritan woman at. So many of us, like this woman, have been digging our own cisterns or wells for years. We have dug wells of fame and fortune, wealth and health, power and prestige, sexuality and sensuality, alcohol and drugs, sports and academia, politics, and even popularity. The truth we find here in this story is that the wells of this world will never fully satisfy. Let me say that again. The wells of this world, the wells you've been digging, well, they're never going to fully satisfy you. The wells of this world will never be enough. The wells of this world hold stagnant, sluggish, and muddy water. We are like the people in Jeremiah's time. We turned away from the spring of living water and have built our own wells. Just look out into the world. Like this outcast Samaritan woman who sneaks away in the heat of the day to draw water, Jesus wants to meet us at our well, wherever we have dug our own well, no matter the time, no matter the place, Jesus wants to show up. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. So let's break that verse down quickly. When Jesus says everyone, the Greek word is pas, P-A-S, and it means all, the whole, the total, anyone or anything. Jesus includes all of us. He is not speaking to one outcast Samaritan woman. Do you hear that? He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. Jesus is speaking to everyone, the total of all people who come to drink from these stagnant wells. The Greek verb for drinks is pino, P-I-N-O. It's a present active verb, which probably doesn't mean anything to you, but in the Greek it does. It's a present active verb that means that this action of drinking is ongoing, unending, and continuous. It's a continuous action. Everyone who drinks and continually drinks from this broken well will be thirsty. That's just the truth. If you drink from the wells of this world, you're going to be thirsty. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And if you need special prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer concerns. If you've missed any of our messages, you can go to our website and also click on the messages. What we're talking about is, where are you drawing your water from? Are you drinking from the wells of this world? The word thirsty, we've been breaking down this verse 13. And we've talked about all and drink, and now we're going to talk about thirsty. Thirsty is a verb too, and it's in the future tense, which means that we will continually be parched, thirsty, and having strong desires. So my question, maybe a so-what question, is what is it that wakes you up with a strong desire? What is it that will get you up and out of bed? What do you thirst for each day? We have just moved my wife's dad, Andy, from Florida to our home in Southern California to live with us. My wife's mother died in February, and we needed to move Dad in with us since he cannot be alone and live alone in Florida. We moved him in late May. We have been trying to get him settled. This means all new doctors. My father-in-law, Andy, is 88 years old. We brought Dad to our general practitioner, and she had set Dad up with a doctor for every need of his. Just this week, we were finally able to get Dad in to see an eye doctor. Dad's cataracts were cloudy, and he had a hard time seeing. The doctor gave us an appointment to have Dad's eyes lasered to release the pressure behind the cataracts. I took Dad to the specialist, and they did the procedure on his left eye. But Dad said the doctor hurt him, and he wasn't going back the next day to have the other eye done. I have to say that my dad is very sensitive and tender at 88. I do not know if you know the rigmarole of Medicare, but just say it's best to bring your dad back the next day, suffer through the laser, and be done. No way. He said, I'm not going back. They hurt me, and I'm not going back. I explained that this was going to mean we would have to wait until the holidays in order to jump through all the Medicare hoops, and he said, that's fine, I'm not going back. Well, you know, as I've been writing this message, I thought about this incident over the past few days. We have a Savior who offers us clean, refreshing water. Why do we go back to the old wells of our life? In a prayer in Psalm 36, there's a prayer that I would use as a springboard a lot of times, especially verses 7 through 9. And let's go to Psalm 36, 7 through 9. How priceless is your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Psalm 36, verse 7 through 9. The psalmist says that we drink from the river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and we see light. Listen again to what Jesus says to the Samaritan woman. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What struck me in my study as I sat and wrote on these words was the word give. It's the Greek word is didomai. Yes, it's a present active verb. That means that the action didomai means to permit, to grant, to offer, and to give freely. Jesus comes to this unnamed, outcast Samaritan woman and offers her a free gift, and will continue to offer this free gift to her in each and every time he meets her. In essence, the gift that Jesus is offering is, and surprises the Samaritan woman with, is a free gift. But Jesus offers this free gift to you and me, each one of us. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Jesus wants to continually and freely give us a drink of living water from a fresh flowing spring called eternal life. Have you ever seen an artesian well? The artesian well is simply a well or spring that does not require a pump to bring water to the surface. This occurs because there's enough pressure contained within the aquifer. The pressure forces the water to the surface without any sort of assistance. I'd encourage you to go to your web and look up an artesian well. Stop and think of God's love like an artesian well, the spring of well bubbling up to eternal life. The so what question of the day is, what well are you drinking from? Will you drink from the broken wells of this world? You probably have been drinking from the broken wells of this world. Will you continue to drink from the broken wells of this world? Will you drink from the spring of living water that bubbles up to eternal life? Well, our so what? Conversion is hardly safe. After all, it requires approaching the King of the universe face to face. In his book, and I love reading C.S. Lewis, I'd encourage you, if you got time, to pick up some of C.S. Lewis's books. In his book, The Silver Chair, C.S. Lewis draws an analogy with the story of a young girl named Jill. She's in the land of Narnia, and she is thirsty. At once, she sees a magnificent stream, but beside the stream is a fearsome lion, Aslan, who represents the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read part of the story to you. I think Lewis is a profound writer. Here's the story. If I run away, it'll be after me in a moment, thought Jill. And if I go on, I shall run straight into his mouth. Anyway, she could not have moved if she had tried, and she could not take her eyes off it. How long this lasted, she could not be sure. It seemed like hours. And the thirst became so bad that she almost felt she would not mind being eaten by the lion if only she could be sure of getting a mouthful of water first. "Are you thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "Would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at this motionless bulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious, rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promises," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she asked. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It did not say this as if he were boasting, nor as if he were sorry, nor as if he was angry. He just said it. "I dare not come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one had seen his stern face could do that that and her mind suddenly made up herself. It was the worst thing she had ever had to do, but she went straight to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she had ever tasted. You did not need to drink much of it, for it quenched your thirst at once. Before she tasted it, she had been intending to make a mad dash from the lion the moment she had finished. Now she realized that this would be the most dangerous thing of all. From C.S. Lewis' book, The Silver Chair. Jesus offers each one of us that same drink. You know, Jesus could have shown up at the well at 6 a.m. when all the popular kids got their water, but he did not. Jesus went to the well in the heat of the day because Jesus knew there would be an outcast who was too ashamed to be seen at the well at 6 a.m. She was a sinner. She had lived with five men. She was now married to one and living with another one. And every day she made the long trip to the well alone in the heat of the day. Like Jill in the silver chair, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus, "Where can I get this living water?" Don't miss the answer Jesus gives her. "All you have to do is ask me and I will give you living water, a spring of water welling up, an artesian well of water. You'll never be thirsty again." The choice is ours to make. Do we want to return to the wells we have dug in the heat of the day? Are we thirsty enough to ask Jesus for living water? I understand that we're living in unprecedented times. No one has canvassed this season or written a book about surviving this worldwide pandemic. There's hundreds of thoughts and ideas out there for us to ponder, from the far right to the far left and all in between. Here's what I know. The Bible. I wish I could hold it up and I wish you could see it. The Bible is the artesian well. Come to the Bible daily and drink your fill, reading your Bible. I started reading my Bible in October of 1987, and I haven't stopped. God's Word is new for me every morning. Every morning I get to fill up my life with hope and peace and joy as I read my Word. Jesus says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." My challenge, my so what challenge to you this week, pick up your Bible, the water, and drink deeply from it and be refreshed. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks that your love is unending, that your love is refreshing, your love is restoring, your love is renewing, your love is reconciling. Let us drink deeply this week and be restored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.